You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Hey friends, John Bush here on the Conscious Resistance Network YouTube channel to chat with you about managing stress and anxiety in the coronavirus era. I've never done a live video on here, so I wanted to test it out, see how it goes. But there's lots of crazy stuff going on in the world, and people are having a pretty hard time. So I wanted to share some insights, some tips. I have, six tips exactly on how you can manage your stress and anxiety because there's a pandemic going on. There are people getting very sick. There are people that are dying. And now, this has been going on. Governments are cracking down and threatening to hurt people and controlling people. So there's plenty of reason to be stressed and anxious at this moment, but we don't have to be. Also, this is really important information in the corona era because when you're stressed, it weakens your immune system. And when you're chilling, when you're zenned out and not feeling all out of whack, it definitely increases the chances that you'll have a strong immune system. So let's get right down to it. The very number one tip I have for you on how you can manage stress and anxiety is to practice mindfulness. What is mindfulness? Mindfulness is being present, being mindful and present in the moment without any judgment or analysis of things going on. You're just simply existing in the moment. And the best way, you're not worried about the past, you're not anxious about the future. There's an expression, those that dwell in the past are depressed. Those that worry about the future have anxiety. And so thanks to everyone for tuning in. Appreciate you guys following along. I hope this is helpful. And so the best way to practice mindfulness is through mindful breathing. And thankfully, we always have our breath here for us. So it's something that's ever present and we can do any moment we begin to feel stressed or anxious. And in fact, what happens is we begin to have a compounding effect. As we practice mindfulness, we become more mindful and in tune. We can recognize when we have the physiological feelings inside of our body that lead to stress and anxiety. When that stress and anxiety, you can feel it kind of, you're tensing up. If you're not in a place of mindfulness, it just can take over and take control. But if you are mindful, you can say, oh, wow, I'm feeling that tension in my shoulders now, that kind of ball in the pit of my stomach. Maybe I should practice my breathing and kind of snap out of it. So the breathing allows you to just take control of your life, move out of the worry, the stress and anxiety. So let's do some breathing real quick. Super simple. Like I said, you always have your breath. You focus on your breath. So real deep inhales. You're focusing on your breath. You're focusing on your nose going in. And then a nice slow exhale. And while you're inhaling and exhaling, you're mindful of the breath coming in, the air coming in, the oxygen. This is also good for not just a spiritual well-being, but physiologically to get more oxygen into your body and into your system. So we're mindful of going in, going out. You can even close your eyes so you can focus more on the breath. And sometimes you find if you just do that 3 to 5 times, the more the better, you kind of snap out of that place where your little internal dialogue, monologue track, it's dialogue really, like your consciousness, your subconsciousness talking to yourself. It's a trip. I learned recently not everybody has that where they think in abstract concepts, not like an inner voice. I have an inner voice, and through a lot of practice over the years, I think I've gotten really good at controlling that inner voice. And through mindfulness practice, whenever you're kind of repeating some of the stuff, maybe your mom or your significant other or the bullies in school would tell you, and you're feeling insecure, you can kind of be like, when you're mindful, you're like, well, hold on a second. Where did that voice come from? That's not serving me, right? So the number one tool for managing stress and anxiety is mindfulness and mindful breathing. And the cool thing about practicing mindfulness, right? It's when we say practicing mindfulness, you're practicing for the big game, which is life, right? All this stuff is easy when we're sitting here watching a YouTube video, unless you just watched some scary stuff before. But sure, you can talk about it. We can read books and be like, oh yeah, mindfulness. Oh, John Bush has some good advice there on how to manage stress. That's a great video. I'm going to consider that. But when you're in the moment and you just got the scary news, or there's a clamp down in your state, you can't leave the house, or you're in a shouting match with your significant other, or your kid gets kicked out of school or something, in that very moment, it's difficult to remain centered. But that's where the practice comes in. It's like swinging a bat with a weight. I used that analogy in a video I did yesterday. It's like swinging a bat with a weight on it, and then, because you're just chilling, you're doing your mindfulness practice, there's not a whole lot at stake except for your life and your well-being. But when you're in the moment, that's when it's difficult. But if you practice mindfulness, you're able to snap out of it a lot more. So practice the mindfulness, relax, chill out, breathe. Then in the moment, when you're starting to feel stressed or anxious, you'll be able to recognize it. And if you practice hard enough, you'll be able to recognize it in your body. A lot, oftentimes, I notice the physiological changes in my body. And then you can be like, all right, let's get back to the mindfulness practice so we can change this. Everyone Sam said, it is hard to control that inner voice. Yeah, that inner voice, it can really take you down a dark path. And mindfulness practice helps us to stay present and to take control of that, for sure. Affirmations help as well. Chants, all sorts of little phraseologies have their own energy to them with the frequency of saying stuff like om, for example, om. But you can have affirmations about success in business, about being a better father, about being a better partner, about chilling out and not being so stressed and anxious all the time. All right, so that's number one. Number two, this one I got from this guy I follow a lot, Grant Cardone. He struggled a whole lot with addiction when he was in his 20s and overdosed and was just really at rock bottom. And one of the things that he says to avoid is empty space, blank space on your calendar. So one way to avoid being stressed and anxious is to stay busy, whether it's through work, hobbies, playing, planting a garden out in the backyard. Now, I wanted to lead with mindfulness because I do want to say that if there's something that's causing you stress and anxiety in your life and you simply stay busy to avoid it rather than facing the issue head on, then that could be a recipe for disaster. So while I do want to point out the second tip is to stay busy, don't stay busy at the expense of doing the inner work that's necessary in order to genuinely and truly and radically strike the root of whatever it is that's causing that stress and anxiety in the first place, which is something that I'm going to talk about in tip six a little bit more. So stay busy. Get yourself a hobby. In these corona times, you know, plant a garden in the back. That's not illegal yet. Well, maybe it's regulated in some areas, but get your hands in the dirt. This will have a grounding effect to help with stress and anxiety as well. Write a book. If you got something to say, if you got some ideas, start writing a book. If you're there with your kiddos, you know, play with your kids. Some genuine mindful playing with the kiddos really goes a long way for their benefit and for yours. So stay busy, because what is it, like idle hands wander or something? This guy Grant Cardone says blank space on the calendar is the devil. So you stay busy. You don't, because when you don't have anything going on, you get bored. That inner voice starts to take over. You start worrying. You start stressing. Another thing too, I'll talk about this in the sixth tip as well. But man, that social media, it can be stressful and create anxiety. And I don't know about your friends list, but mine, I guess I haven't culled it very well. I was involved in the Ron Paul movement and did some Republican Party stuff back then in 2007, 2008, and got a bunch of patriots and some right-wingers on my wall. And there seems to be just a lot of hate and anger and division. Everyone's just focused on coronavirus now, but everyone has like their own opinion and analysis of it all. But being on social media oftentimes can cause stress and anxiety. And if you just get outside, go walk around, get your hands in the dirt, play with your kids, The next thing is exercise, right? So that's step two, stay busy. If you don't have anything going on, then it's easy to drift off into bad habits. It's easy to get caught up in your head, but don't avoid doing the inner work that's necessary in order to find that peace, in order to find that zen. And then if you don't have anything to do, you could do mindfulness practice. How about that? How does that sound? Number three is to exercise. Man, if you're feeling stressed, anxious, angry, if you just get outside and go on a jog, 1 mile, 2 mile, even a walk, man, it's going to totally change the game for you. If you do a little bit more of a concerted exercise, get the heart rate going, get some push-ups going, some sit-ups, maybe some free weights, this is really going to help to alleviate some of that stress and to get you in a place of peace. It's going to get the blood going in your body. Again, more oxygen going in your body. I'm telling you, if you're feeling stressed and anxious, get out from the house, get outside, soak up some vitamin D, and go on a jog. And I'm pretty sure after you're jogging, or even when you're jogging, you're going to be in a good place. I often listen to like audiobooks and videos and inspirational stuff while I'm jogging, although it would benefit me to tune out and to be a little bit more mindful while I'm jogging and just have a nice mindful jog. There's mindful walking, which is something if people really can't sit or if they get a little bit too anxious or bored when they're sitting, mindful walking is another thing where you're just mindful, present in the moment. You're paying attention to your steps as you go, to the way that the weight on your foot feels when it touches the ground. And another tip, let me go back to the mindfulness. People find it difficult and they get frustrated whenever they're practicing mindfulness or meditation, a longer, more concerted mindful effort. And, you know, in meditation, you want to even get to a place where you aren't even paying attention to the breath anymore. You're just totally zenned out and zoned out, truly present in the moment without even being mindful of the breath or anything, which is extremely challenging. But a lot of people get frustrated when they're doing mindful breathing or meditating because thoughts keep popping up in their head. And that's okay. What to do when that happens, whether you're mindful walking or sitting or just standing there breathing, is you recognize the thought, be mindful of the thought, and then push it away. Sort of like you're trying to meditate and then it pops in your head like, oh man, I think I never took those clothes out of the washer and put them in the dryer. I smell like mildew. Oh, wait, I'm meditating. So you just recognize that thought. Oh, I had a thought there. And then you wash it away. All right, deal with that later. I'm going to get back to breathing. And then the cool thing is that in it of itself is a practice. The art of being mindful of the thought and then washing it away is a practice. And then getting back to what we were talking about before, controlling that inner dialogue, it's the same thing. Whether you're meditating or not, when you're in the game, right, because the mindfulness practice is practice for the game, which is real life, you get that thought where you're like, all right, I'm going to walk in here and I'm going to nail this interview. But then that voice is like, no, you're not going to nail the interview. You don't look professional. You got fired from your last job. You'll probably get fired from this job. Then the same thing, you're like, oh, there's that damn voice again. Whoa, that's not the true me. That's not serving me. That's my mother or my sibling talking to me. No, you wash it away, right? So exercise. I went back into mindfulness, but mindfulness is really critical. And in order to master all these other things, the mindfulness is beneficial in every single aspect of your life, in my opinion. So number one is mindfulness. Number two is to stay busy. Number three is to exercise. Get your heart rate going. Boom, 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 boom. Number four, a proper diet. So I often think about, I have two kids and I'm a peaceful parent. Never would strike my kid. Do raise my voice from time to time, but I'm always mindful in the moment like, oh my God, I just lost my shit. And I get down and apologize and stuff. But imagine the kid who the parent gives him a soda, which is like 45 to 50 grams of sugar. I can't even imagine drinking a soda these days. It would like jack me up and make me feel yucky. But imagine the child who has the soda and then he's bouncing off the wall and he's like knocking stuff over, or he has a soda at lunch, even a teenager, right? Or an adult, you have the soda at lunch, then you're expected to go back in your class and you're like fidgeting and joking around and stuff. And the teacher's like, hey, what's up with that? Or the parent scolds the child having given them a soda or have sodas in the fridge. Then they go bounce off the walls and now they're being punished for that. It's the same thing with adults. If we are pounding alcohol, if we're pounding sugar, if we're eating an unhealthy, unbalanced diet, then it's going to increase the likelihood that we're not able to stay balanced, grounded, and centered. Also, if we're lacking vitamins and minerals in our body, I like to think about calcium and magnesium, especially. These are all minerals of the earth and from the earth. So just imagine consuming them, becoming them, right? You are what you eat. All those atoms and all the DNA gets all mixed up. It becomes a part of you. Your body utilizes it. So a lot of people have the vitamin deficiency, calcium, magnesium, and they have trouble sleeping. They're anxious and stuff. So it's not only the positive beneficial things that people often are lacking, but people are consuming things that are jacking them up. And I should say too, I'm going to mention this again. Six is a good one, guys. I keep alluding to it, but, it's not just consuming food, it's consuming media, right? So if you're consuming food that has crazy energetics and throws off your blood sugar in your system, you know, even when you have too much sugar, sometimes I feel a little anxious and just like a little, whoa, but then I'll eat a nice healthy meal or have a smoothie from Juiceland here in Austin. And I'm like, yeah, I feel good. I feel like kind of grounded and just, you know, solid instead of all fluid and bouncing around. But it's not just consuming food, consuming media. Or there was a whole era, I remember I was involved with the Cop Block and helped to found the Peaceful Streets Project. But even during that period, it was before this period, there was a period where I would like consume police brutality videos and people getting cracked over the head with a baton or kicked in the face. And consuming that media, I want to be aware that there's injustices and systemic racism in the institutions of the U.S. government, all over the world, really. But I don't want to sit there and watch that terrible, terrible stuff because it does have a negative effect on me and leads to stress and anxiety. So to the contrary, fighting back against that, focusing on solutions, holding police accountable, police officers accountable, government officials accountable, that can actually help to alleviate some stress and anxiety, although you may find that you're banging your head against the wall because the political institution is operating exactly as it was intended to operate, which is to preserve the power and privilege and wealth of the tiny little bitty people in power at the expense of everyone else. But I digress. So have a proper diet. That means balanced diets. Plant-based is great, although I eat meat as well, but I try to eat humane meat. I try to eat organic, grass-fed. Maybe people will fight me on that in the comments. But balanced diet, nutrients, vitamins, minerals, calcium, magnesiums are big ones. And then avoid consuming that shit, the alcohol, the freaking sugar drinks, the sugar candy. Avoid it, you know, if it's a birthday or whatever. And at the end of the day, do whatever the hell you want. This is just advice that has helped me and benefited me immensely. There was a period in my life where I had a very toxic relationship. There was so much stress in my life, and I would like lash out on my kids. It was bad news bears, and I would always be on edge, and I would always have that physiological hunched over, like, tense feeling. And I did a whole lot of work, and it's benefited me immensely. It's benefited those around me especially. So I want to offer this advice and this insight to you. The step number five is, this one's near and dear to me. I wanted to start with all this stuff because step one, two, three, tip one, two, three, and four, this is like the radical root kind of stuff. So in my business, I sell Kratom and CBD, and a lot of people that struggle with addiction benefit from it because, for one of the reasons, Kratom helps to minimize withdrawal symptoms for those that are formerly addicted and that are trying to quit. But I noticed that many of my customers currently or formerly were struggling with some sort of addiction, whether they got in a car accident and then were prescribed OxyContin, and then they got dependent on the OxyContin, and then they develop tolerance. And this is a path that a lot of people lead to heroin too. And then they couldn't get the same feeling from the OxyContin anymore. So they would try to like snort it, and then that wouldn't work. So then they would go on to heroin, or even people that had extreme trauma in their lives. And then they use all sorts of drugs in order to numb the pain. People would use Kratom to replace all of that or to overcome the withdrawal symptoms so they could be clean and sober. But I noticed that the Kratom is just a surface level solution. I started an addiction recovery group. It's called the Brave New You Recovery Group. But I want to point that out because I'm about to talk about Kratom and CBD, but I purposefully led with mindfulness, staying busy, exercise, and a proper diet because those are more fundamental strike the root type solutions. And of course, big number six, that's coming up. I'm teasing number six, so you stick around to the end. That's where the rubber meets the road. And oftentimes people turn to alcohol, even kratom and CBD, which are much preferable to alcohol because they're natural, they're of the earth, and they jive with your system even more, especially cannabis. Like, our body has an endocannabinoid system in it. Our body also has opioid, dopamine, and serotonin receptors, which kratom interacts with. But I just want to point that out. Really, to avoid stress and anxiety at a fundamental, really important level, you got to do the hard work. But as we're doing that hard work, I should have mentioned yoga under the exercise portion, because yoga is a beautiful blending of exercise and mindfulness practice. But as we're doing the hard work, sometimes there's some tools that help us with stress and anxiety. And one of those tools that's helped me immensely is Kratom. And just to throw a little plug in there, I am a businessman. If you want to help me, if you want to help Derek Bros and the Conscious Resistance, and if you want to help yourself to manage stress and anxiety, again, it's like cut right to the chase, a surface level solution, but it's quite effective. You can go to bros.freeounceofkratom.com, bros.freeounceofkratom.com, pay $5 shipping and handling, and we'll send you a free ounce of green Mang Da. But I want to talk about using plant medicine as a tool, right? So Kratom is you can make it as a tea, you can drink it with water, you can drink it with juice, and the alkaloids in Kratom, mitragynine and 7-hydroxymitragynine, there's many other alkaloids and compounds that are beneficial for the human body for a variety of different reasons and benefits, but those alkaloids interact with the dopamine and serotonin receptors, as well as the opioid receptors as well, and it's through that interaction that neurotransmitters are released and stimulated. And, you know, physiologically, scientifically, physically, this helps just to kind of take the edge off. So I've used Kratom as a tool for my parenting. Like, my kids were unschooled and peaceful parented. They go to a cool private school, Reggio Emilia. They do like gardening, chickens, yoga and stuff. But my kids are pretty wild. Okay. Maybe they're so damn free that it's difficult to parent at times. So when I would sense, because I've done mindfulness practice, I start sensing like, okay, the kids are going nuts. They're kind of getting on my nerves. I'm feeling a little tense. I think about what happens. Sometimes I lose my temper in this place. So I'll be like, okay, I'm going to have a Kratom drink. So I'll go make a Kratom drink. And it just really helps to take the edge off. In fact, my first experience with Kratom that was super beneficial, besides just kind of taking it to try it recreationally early on, was driving the Bitcoin bus. We used to drive this converted school bus around the country promoting Bitcoin and using cryptocurrency only on these cross-crunchy nationwide trips. And we would get sponsors. We were doing a podcast and writing articles. We'd get sponsors. I was the only one that drove the bus. We had two kids that we had to keep happy. We had to meet sponsor obligations. We had to do events, meetups, advertising, writing articles, doing podcasts. And I would get really stressed out and anxious because we had a 7-hour, 8-hour drive. I couldn't work on the podcast. There were bills back at home that were due. I needed to convert the crypto in order to pay for this, that, and the other in different ways. And like, there was this one point where I got so anxious that I started having chest pains. That's only happened to me like 2 or 3 times in my life, but this was one of the times. This was before I was like hardcore Kratom advocate. And I was like, oh my God, I had that Kratom in the back of the bus. So I pulled the bus over, made a drink with just 1 teaspoon. And literally, as I started to drink it, the stress and anxiety is just like, whew, literally, that's why I say Green Mang Da takes the edge off. It just kind of is like, whoa, and just helps to, okay, I got this. It's not only the physiological release of the tension, just releasing the tension, baby, but it's also my thinking and perspective shifted too, to one of like, man, one of scarcity where I'm like, oh man, all of our sponsors are gonna be so pissed off. I haven't put that podcast out. This sucks. Oh my God, I'm way behind on everything. I still got to transfer the money over here and there, to one of like, you know what? We got this. I'm going to be okay. Our sponsors understand that we're on a tour. We're doing really good work here. If the podcast comes out a day or two late, that's fine. People are still going to hear it. It literally shifted the perspective. So again, that's bros.freeounceofkratom.com, bros.freeounceofkratom.com. You just pay $5 shipping and handling, and I'll send you a free ounce. We can't accept credit cards or debit cards because this is like an anti-government medicine, plant medicine they don't like. So they do these like backdoor things. It's not illegal. It is illegal in 6 states. But we can take e-check, Venmo, cryptocurrency. So there's information about that on the website. But the beauty of the line of work that I'm in is because I'm into helping people. I'm an activist at heart. And the work that I do helps people overcome addiction, helps people manage stress and anxiety, all that good stuff. CBD too, cannabidiol. It is a part of the cannabis family. There is THC and CBD and many other cannabinoids. These are parts of the cannabis plant, the active compounds in the cannabis plant. THC is what makes you feel high. It interacts with the CB1 receptor, which is in your brain. CBD interacts with the CB2 receptor, which in large part is in your spleen, and it regulates homeostasis and helps the body's systems to find balance. That is why it helps with pain. It helps to reduce inflammation. And when you're feeling out of balance and stressed and stuff, CBD can help to bring back that balance, to help ground you, to help take the edge off as well. I would say that kratom has a little bit more of an effect than CBD, but CBD helps just the same. So what is this? Got to start small, Rika, and eat and drink plenty of water, but still not for everyone. I wonder if you're referring to kratom. Yeah, if you, when you start taking kratom, take a small amount, take it on a full stomach. In my opinion, we do send out a one-page sheet that has some advice on how to take it responsibly. Kratom can be abused, I should say, and there are people that were formerly addicted to drugs or heroin, and then they become dependent on kratom. But at the end of the day, kratom's not going to kill you, unlike overdosing on some of this hardcore stuff. So that's the fifth tip. And remember, I put it as number five. I wanted to go over this other stuff first because kratom's just a surface level solution. Yeah, it's a strong one and it does take the edge off in the moment. But you got to ask yourself, like me, when I'd be stressed with my kids, I got to ask myself, why am I so stressed? What's triggering me? Is it something in my childhood? Is it something about the relationship between me and my parents? You see, taking the kratom helps in the moment, helps to take the edge off, helps to be more present and not snap, right? But at the end of the day, you got to do that hard work, which is the mindfulness, right? Okay, now let's go to number six. You guys ready for number six? I've been talking about it all day. Number six, I like to say, is maximize what brings you joy and love and happiness, and minimize the things that create stress and anxiety, right? Another example, I was talking about the bus. So it's like, okay, yes, the bus trips and all that stuff would bring me so much joy, but the question would be like, well, why do I lay so much stuff on me so strongly, right? Take stock of things like, man, am I trying to avoid stuff? What's going on here? So you take stock of everything that you do in your life. And you're mindful, you analyze it. So if there's activities that you have in your life that are bringing you stress and anxiety, maybe it's possible to minimize those or outright eliminate them. As I spoke before of social media, scrolling down that Facebook feed, seeing all this crazy stuff right now, seeing that map with all the big red circles, seeing the headlines that the Department of Justice is asking Congress for the power to suspend habeas corpus and hold people indefinitely, that stuff's really stressful. And if you have things to do in your life, if you need to show up for your family, if it is just taking away from your center, then you don't have to look at it. You know, there's this guy, Tim Ferriss, he wrote The 4-Hour Workweek. And he does what he calls media fasts, where he just won't even look at any media at all. He won't read the newspapers. He won't do the blogs. He won't go to Facebook. He won't watch the mainstream media. He does none of it. And he says, if there's something happening that's important enough, somebody will talk to me about it, or I'll see it as a headline on the front of the newspaper when I walk by in the little newspaper stand. There's a lot of nasty stuff going on in the world, and a lot of it's highlighted and blown up by sensationalism. Another way to avoid stress and anxiety, maybe one of those things that causes stress and anxiety in your life, is mainstream media. Like, I watched, for the first time in a long time, NBC Nightly News, and I was like, oh my God, how long has it been this fake and phony, the mainstream media? It was so clearly staged and scripted and government propaganda. I was like, man, but I bet the masses just buy it hook, line, and sinker. So that may be something. So the idea is you mindfully take stock of the activities in your life that cause stress and anxiety, that lead to stress and anxiety, and you take stock of the activities that bring you joy and happiness. So for one thing, playing frisbee golf brings me joy and happiness. I hadn't played in so long, but I went with my girlfriend to her sister's wedding in Phoenix and had the opportunity to play frisbee golf with her brothers. And it was absolutely great and joyful. It brought me so much happiness. So I'm going to try to do that now. I don't think it's illegal. We can still go out and play frisbee golf or go to the park. And so that's something that brings me joy. So I'm going to maximize more of that. Maybe there's relationships that you have that could serve to be cut or limited. Like maybe there's a friend, you go hang out with them. Well, that's already happening now with all this social distancing, but maybe there's people in your life, you go hang out with them or you talk to them on the phone or chat with them on social media, and they're just always negative and have such a negative perspective and outlook on life. Maybe don't hang out with them as much. Maybe just say hello, but I'm doing my own thing for now. So that's the sixth step. And I think that's really a lot of this stuff. So these other tips, again, of course, the mindfulness is a foundational thing that brings up about so many benefits in our life, but we can manage the stress and anxiety, but it's still going to be there. And we may be able to manage it and deal with it better, but it's through changing our lives, changing our life design, making moves, changing our line of work. Maybe it's leaving a significant other because there's too much stress and fighting. Maybe it's you feel anxious when you put a bathing suit on because you feel insecure about your body or whatnot. Not that anyone should feel insecure if they don't have what? I don't even know what a perfect body is. I would say a perfect body is one that's healthy and that doesn't have health problems. But maybe that's what you feel anxious and you're like, man, I want to change that. So this comes into changing your life, changing things. And it's the change that's often difficult, right? It's the change. So another example is like, okay, I feel anxious when people say a certain thing to me. Like when people say a certain nasty or negative thing, I really freak out or have a lot of problems about that. So the question is, what's that all about? What do I need to change in my life? What work do I need to do? Oftentimes we'll find that it goes back into our childhood, right? So what can we change? What can we minimize? What can we maximize? What can we change? How can we be mindful to really get to the root of that? And then the beautiful things in your life that bring you joy, try to arrange your life around those things. There's this other analogy. I think I got it from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And the idea, he talks about putting first things first. And in business and in life, you have things that are urgent and important. You have things that are, so that there's like a quadrant between urgent and important. And there's things that are important and urgent. There's things that are important and not urgent, which we oftentimes don't do. There's things that are not important and urgent. And there's things that are not important and not urgent. I may be like totally confusing things, but the idea is you put the big rocks in first. So oftentimes we're focused on the urgent things, whether it's important or not. And that leaves out time for the important but non-urgent things. So for example, going to therapy could be a important but non-urgent thing. You got to pay the bills. You got to deal with this. You got to take the kids to school. You got to clean the house. That's all the important, urgent stuff. But doing the work sometimes is the urgent, non-important stuff. I'm sorry, the important, non-urgent stuff, doing that work. And so the idea is, but oftentimes we don't get left with time to do that. So you put the big rocks in first. You carve out the time to do the mindfulness practice. You carve out the time to go to the kung fu class. You carve out the time to exercise. You carve out the time to read that book, that the self-improvement book. Carve out the time. You put the big rock in the water first, and then the smaller stuff can fit around that. It's how you can really manage and take control of your life design, focusing on those really important things and letting the other stuff come secondary to that. So I'm going to go over these. I'm going to review these. This is the first time I've done Facebook Live, so I'm going to see if I can see people's chatter there. Oh, wow, look at that. That's great. I don't know if I can scroll through. I can't scroll through. This is great. Let's do more of these. The first tip was mindfulness, being in the present moment, absent judgment or analysis. The best way to be in the present moment is through mindful breathing. Our breath is always there. It's something we can always do. We don't have to bring anything along with us. We don't have to go to the gym. We don't have to make a drink. We can always get into the present moment through mindful breathing. And it's the mindfulness practice. I think it was Thich Nhat Hanh that showed me that it's called mindfulness practice for a reason, because you're practicing for life. It's easy to do the mindful breathing. It's easy to think about nonviolent communication and all sorts of stuff when you're just reading about it or watching John Bush on a YouTube video. But in the moment, when you're agitated, when hell's going, when everything's, hell's breaking loose and everything's crazy, that's when it's difficult. And that's why you do the mindfulness practice and the meditation. So in the moment, you can snap out of it. You can recognize the tension in your shoulders. You can recognize that you're about to explode on your significant other, and you can come back to the present moment where things are beautiful and peachy. Stay busy is the second tip. If you have nothing going on, you're going to get caught in that internal dialogue and that soundtrack, and you're just going to stress yourself out. You're more likely to stress yourself out. If you're just scrolling around on social media, just derping around, it's more likely that you're going to be stressed and anxiety. But if you stay busy, if you stay productive, if you're building, if you're creating, if you're doing, if you're living, if you're working, if you're running, if you're loving, then it's less likely that you're going to be anxious. Get your hands dirty in the garden is one great way. If you're feeling stressed, you're feeling anxious, go out and get grounded in the earth, be barefoot, plant some seeds. That's especially great in the coronavirus era. Exercise, another wonderful, wonderful way. Get your blood flowing, get oxygen going. It's going to get the stress out, especially if you're frustrated or angry. You just go, 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 go. And then you'll be too tired to even feel frustrated or stressed out. It'll be a very beautiful thing. Proper diet. A lot of people completely overlook this. You're pounding sugar, drinking alcohol at the club, and then the next day you're like short and on edge. No wonder, right? But it's not just things that we ought to avoid. It's things that we need to make sure we are putting in our body, really beneficial nutrients. And two that come to mind are calcium and magnesium, which are of the earth. Just think about calcium, magnesium being grounded in the earth with those minerals in our body, our system functioning as it should in a beautiful, synergistic, free-flowing, smooth way. I talked about kratom and CBD. These are surface-level solutions. That's why I put the other ones first, especially mindfulness. That was upfront and number one, because it could be a panacea of be-all, end-all for our problems with stress and anxiety. But when those things are difficult, or as you're doing the mindfulness practice and learning to be a better human, learning to show up better for yourself and those around you, kratom is a wonderful tool. It is the powderized leaf of the kratom evergreen tree. Half a teaspoon of this, quarter teaspoon if you weigh less. I take a couple good sized teaspoons, but I take it pretty regularly. Drink it with 12 to 16 ounces of water slowly over the course of 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. Kind of vibe in with the effect. It really takes the edge off. The red varieties, this is a green. The red varieties are great for chronic pain. The white varieties are good for stress and anxiety, a little uplifting. The green is kind of in the middle, really good for taking away stress and anxiety. You can try this out yourself, and you can support Derek Bros and the Conscious Resistance and myself. If you go to bros.freeounceofkratom.com, bros.freeounceofkratom.com, and you can try some kratom. Just pay $5 shipping and handling, and you can try it out. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you won't. Another CBD, cannabidiol of the cannabis plant. It interacts with the CB2 receptors, which regulates balance and homeostasis in your system. CBD is great for helping to take the edge off as well. And then finally, take stock of your life. Take a good hard look at the activities and the things that you're doing in your life. Chances are, there's a dichotomy. Some of the activities bring you joy, happiness, fulfillment, love, balance. Other activities probably stress you out, cause anxiety, are unfulfilling, maybe hurtful. This can be, and then there's, you know, the real challenge is knowing the difference between the two. And then there's things in your life that do a little bit of both, like going out to the club and drinking. In the moment, you're happy, you're joyful, you're having a blast. Or maybe if you're a promiscuous person, hooking up and having a one-night stand. Oh my God, that's loving. That's so great. I'm having so much fun. This feels so good. But oftentimes you find that it leads to stress and anxiety, because now it's the next morning and you have to get up for work and you're not going to perform well and you're going to feel guilty and bad about that. Or you had the one-night stand and now you're kind of doing your own walk of shame and you're like, oh, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. It could be dangerous. I don't even know that person. And I've been researching lately about the enshrining of the spiritual nature of sexuality. Just an example, right? Sometimes it's challenging because things feel good, but they also can lead to stress and anxiety. But take stock of your life. takes, you can even write it down on a list, a little T-chart. These things bring me happiness, playing with my kids, playing Monopoly. Maybe it's video games, right? And again, think about that balance. Everything needs to be balanced out. Going on walks with my significant other, those things all bring me happiness. What brings me stress? My job brings me a whole lot of stress and anxiety. Whenever I'm hungover, that's really stressful and anxiety. Going over to Jimmy's place, man, he's always just ranting and raving about the New World Order. That just really gets my heart rate going. So try to minimize those things, manage those things, deal with those things, shift those things, and maximize and blow up and create a life design that works for you and maximizes happiness, balance, peace, and freedom. All right, let me see if I can go through some of these comments real quick before we tune out. Hey, thanks. Glad to join from Quebec, Danielle. I really appreciate you joining in. What else we got going here? Yes, breathing, stopping the little negative voice playing in your head. That's so critical, taking control of this voice. And I feel blessed that I've really, like, when the voice gets negative, I'm like, not gonna do it. And there's even an opportunity to analyze and be like, where did we go wrong with that? Who is that even talking to me? Oftentimes it's someone else's voice that's giving you a hard time that you just internalize that little track. All right, what else we got? Hello. Thank you, everyone. All right, there's too many comments. You guys were very interactive. I appreciate it. I'm getting a green screen or trying to get it so I can do this on my computer. Starbucks canned double shots is keeping me sane right now and high in energy alert. Okay, coffee. I drink coffee every morning. Coffee does cause anxiety for some people, but for me, it gives me up and pep. There's all sorts of great tools and substances. Some of them have more negative side effects than others. Some have no, little to no side effects. Stress plus anxiety equals coronavirus. Yes, and that's why I chose to do this video. Coronavirus is going on. The media is sensationalizing everything. The government's starting to crack down. But you know what, guys? If we're going to usher in the new paradigm and create a world that's more beautiful, more peaceful, with people loving one another more, we got to stay centered because this is our opportunity to change the game. Out of these trying times can come opportunities to change things. I did a video about that 3 days ago, if you want to go back and see. I was just wondering if anybody heard they're talking about suspending our rights. Hey, hijinks. They're always talking about suspending our rights, coronavirus or not, but I did see an article where the Department of Justice is, and it did have suspend rights or like something like that as the headline. The Department of Justice is asking Congress for the authorization to basically suspend habeas corpus, be able to suspend habeas corpus and detain people indefinitely when there's a pretrial, a trial, any court proceeding. They are wanting to stop that if they need to and hold people indefinitely. Habeas corpus means like bring the body. But interestingly enough, I'll do another video on the U.S. Constitution because there's a section in the U.S. Constitution that actually allows the United States central government to suspend habeas corpus in the event that there's rebellion and insurrection and the public safety needs it. So we'll do a whole nother video about that. Stress in my line of work is unavoidable, to be brutally honest. Well, if it's causing you problems, Luz Lulz Junkie 2018, you don't have to have a particular line of work. Now, that's easier said than done in these times where people are losing work left and right. But genuinely, if it's causing so much pain in your life, then you do have the ability to start a new line of work. That'll be easier later on. But you know what? Sometimes things are hard and you just got to work a little bit harder and believe in yourself a little bit more. And even in these difficult economic times, you can find a way to do that. And in fact, yesterday I did a video all about how to survive and thrive financially in these different times. All right, everybody. Hiya, Jinx. Quarter teaspoon makes me sick. I might be allergic. Yeah, there's occasionally people that kratom just doesn't jive with. That's why I encourage people to mix it with water or juice and to sip it really slowly when you first take it for the first time to see if you're one of those people or not. Chances are you'll like it, but there is a small number of people that doesn't jive. They feel a little nauseous and feel a little weird. So we have different varieties. Check them out. Again, that's bros.freeouncekratom.com. That's what fuels me, feeds my family, pays my rent, allows me to do good work, help other people. I give a lot of kratom away. I help people with discounts when they're struggling. And it'll definitely help Derek Bros and the Conscious Resistance Network. Man, I love me some Derek Bros. Yes, we have to remain cool and collected and hypervigilant in our practices. This is definitely true. There are constitution-free zones. I was arrested once for protesting Barack Obama back in, I don't know, it was 2008 or something. And that was pretty terrible for stepping out of a free speech zone. All right. You can get freer or closer to the free samples from a lot of vendors. Worth checking out if you're in a lot of pain. Definitely sample. I love competition. So, all right. I appreciate everyone. I'll go back and respond to some of these comments later. Thanks for tuning in. This was live. It went great. And remember, you don't have to be stressed and anxious. You can take control of your life. You can find peace, love, and freedom. It just takes a lot of work. And mindfulness is the number one thing you can do to avoid stress and anxiety. Not just to manage stress and anxiety, but to eliminate it from your life. I'm not going to lie. I think it's really hard unless you go sit underneath a tree and reach nirvana. There's going to be stress and anxiety in your life, but it doesn't have to take control of you. You can use it as an indicator that something needs to change in your life. All right, this is John Bush, Peace and Freedom. I'm out. I honestly don't know how to end this, but we are going to turn it off. I hope it saves. Love you.